This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com. Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Janet Wishnia, who is one of the owners of Thomaston Mills, manufacturer of American Blossom linens. Since she was 4 years old, she has been involved with the family business started by her grandfather. Janet, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Oh my God, same here. And I've been in manufacturing myself, so I have so much respect for women especially who are in manufacturing. And I'm going to dive into all of that later on. But before we begin, I love starting out with, what inspired you? How did you end up doing what you're doing today?
All right. So it's a bit of a story. So as you said in the intro, I've been sort of working in my family business since I was 4 years old. So my grandfather started the business. It was a retail business, and it started in the center city in Philadelphia. And he had three sons, one of which is my father. And after my father and his two brothers graduated from college, they went to Wharton at University of Pennsylvania. And they came into the business, and they went from one retail store to opening up a second retail store. And as they got older, got married, and started having kids, they decided they didn't really like the 7 day a week retail life. So they were brainstorming about how to change their business, to reinvent themselves. That's, I guess, the word now, to reinvent themselves. And they came up with the idea of selling bedding and linens to institutions like hospitals, the government, places like that. So as they were running the retail store, my father and one of his brothers started to build up this part of the business. And it got to the point where that part of the business, call it the institutional business, became much bigger than the retail business. They ended up closing the stores and concentrating fully on that part of the business. So over the years, the business kept growing. I graduated college. Well, let's step back. When I was 4 years old, my father would come home. He was an entrepreneur, and most entrepreneurs work a lot of hours, and he would come home and we'd have dinner together, and he would sit in front of the TV and I would sit next to him, and he would, you know, at that point in time, it was a smaller business and he was doing a lot of the jobs himself. So he would bring work home and he would oftentimes have checks to mail, you know, payments, payables, and he would bring it home and he would fold them up and he would have me put them in the envelopes. So we would sit there together and watching TV, and I would be enveloping these checks. I mean, obviously things were a lot different. That was like 55 years ago. So things were a lot different then. Anyway, all throughout school, from when I was in elementary school to middle school to high school, I would work there during the summer and during my vacations. When I graduated college, or went to college, I sort of went through a little bit of a rebellious stage. And I decided I didn't want to be in business, that I wanted to study anthropology.
Oh, I love that.
And I went to school at also University of Pennsylvania, and I studied anthropology, which was definitely worthwhile. I learned a lot. You learn a lot about people, about writing, about research, which is fundamental things for everything you do in business. So I got to my senior year and I was, I need to get a job. It's not so easy to get a job as an archaeologist or an anthropologist unless you become a PhD. And I wasn't really interested in that. And at the time I was dating my now husband, and he said to me, "You know, you have a good head for business. You really ought to think about going into your family business." And of course, since he said it, instead of my father, I listened to him, right? So we don't, I was in my rebellious stage. Right. So I ended up going into the family business and I've been there ever since. I'm 62 years old now, so it's been like 40 years and I love it. So when I went into the business, kind of back to the growth of the business, we were still very hot and heavy into selling government agencies, institutions, no retail at all. And we didn't have any manufacturing at the time. And as time went on, we started selling more and more bedding. And we ended up deciding to manufacture our own line of bedding.
Sorry, we, quick question. When you guys were catering to the government sector, was it your private label? Did you have other manufacturers manufacture your linens? And then it was-
At the time, we were selling other people's brands.
Ah, got it.
We were buying from manufacturers and we were reselling it. We were sort of a specialist in selling to government and institutions.
Got it. Okay.
But as time went on, we kept selling more and more bedding. That was a very big product line for us. So we decided that we were going to start our own brand. Yeah. So we went out to manufacturers and we contracted with them to make our brand. And that continued to grow and grow. And we decided then to open our own factory. So actually my husband and I took our kids, they were little at the time, and we moved to Virginia where our first factory was. We bought a building, we bought equipment, and my husband was working for the company as well. And he started this factory. We hired people, we, as I said, bought the machines and we did all that. And it kept growing and growing and we outgrew this factory. And so this was at around the year 2000. And one of our former companies that we were, that was manufacturing for us before we owned the factory, was having a lot of financial trouble and actually went bankrupt. And we bought part of their facility out of bankruptcy. They had a much larger facility. They had more machines. Their name was Thomaston Mills. So that's how we got the name Thomaston Mills. They were actually at one time a public company. They were also a family-owned business.
I thought I recognized the name.
Yeah, they were a public company. They were a family-owned business. What happened with them, so I don't know if you're aware, but in the 1980s, due to changes in trade policy,
yes,
virtually all of the textile manufacturing went overseas.
Yep.
And it really was devastating for the manufacturers that were here. It was very hard for them to continue competing against the cheap labor and cheap fibers that were available overseas. So Thomaston was hit really by this and went bankrupt. And so we bought some, not all of it, we bought a good part of their factory and some of their equipment, and we bought their name.
Nice.
And so we moved from our place in Virginia to Georgia. And this, we actually did our closing of the purchase on, it was the day of 9/11 when we had the closing. It was so weird.
That is so weird.
We couldn't even fly to the factory because you remember on 9/11 they stopped that's definitely a day to remember.
Yeah.
A really good one for us and a really bad one.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. So that's how we got Thomaston Mills. And you know, since then we've grown the business. We actually sell primarily now to the healthcare and hospitality trade, and also to the government trade. We have a network of distributors that sell for us to hotels and healthcare facilities. Amazing. So now enter American Blossom Linens. So when our former president, Donald Trump, was running for office, Mm-hmm. He did a lot of speeches about Made in America and sort of brought that idea more to the forefront.
Right.
And, you know, I heard all the news and I started thinking, hey, we have this factory and, you know, people seem to be more interested in Made in America and maybe we should give this a try. At the time, I was acting as CEO of the company, but I had, my kids were married, I had a grandchild. I decided, you know, maybe I want to kind of cut back a little bit. We're a family business, so my cousin had expressed interest in being a CEO, so he took over as CEO and I kind of stepped back. And I said, I'm gonna try to develop this brand and see if we can get any traction. I absolutely knew nothing about retail selling and nothing about online sales, nothing. I learned from the beginning. And
that might have been a good thing though, because things change so fast and so constantly online and in the retail space that
even
if you knew something a year ago, it wouldn't really matter this year because
And so obviously I'm 62. I was in my 59 when I did this, almost 60. And so we started out by coming up with a product and figuring out what sizes we wanted, what kind of fabric we wanted, what kind of packaging we wanted. We did all of that. Wow. And then we had to build a website. So I hired somebody to build a website and they weren't really moving along like I liked. And I went to my IT department. So, you know, we have, what's nice is as an entrepreneur, I'm building this brand, but we already have an infrastructure.
Nice.
We have an accounting department. We have an IT department. We have manufacturing experts. So I didn't have to do all those things. So I went to my IT department and I said, you know, this isn't working. They're not delivering. And my IT manager, who is really an expert in enterprise software, we run an Oracle enterprise system, said, you know, I'm going to learn how to do this.
I love it.
And he is an amazing person. He actually he looked around and he decided, okay, we're going to use a Shopify platform.
Well, I was going to say, smart. Why build it from scratch?
He's going to use a Shopify platform, but he knew nothing about HTML or setting it up or anything. And he started watching videos and, you know, reading their help section, and he learned how to do it himself. Mm-hmm. And so he built it, and you know, then we were all ready. And January 1st, 2019, we turned it on,
and
that was it. And now you can ask your other question because I'll tell you another story.
My question is, what was one thing that you figured out throughout this journey that you think took your business to the next level?
Yeah. So. On January 1st, we turned the website on.
Wow.
And I was like all day watching, when are the sales coming? And there was nothing. And I was so disappointed. And I called up another gentleman in my IT department and I said, there's no sales. What's going on? You know, of course, you put your heart and soul into something. And you think, oh, the world knows about it because you know about it, right? It didn't even occur to me that I had to do advertising.
Right.
And this person in my IT department, his name is Alex, he said to me, well, you haven't done any advertising. Of course you're going to get no sales. And I was like, oh, yeah.
It's a whole different business from, especially.
Whole different business.
Sector. Because, yeah.
I was so used to working in the B2B field. Yeah. And it was really, with the B2B field, it was very much a person-to-person business. Yeah. We did a lot of government contracts.
Yes.
They reached out to us. We didn't so much have to reach out to them.
Right.
So I was like, oh, I've been so naive. Here I've been working so hard on you know, the packaging and the brand and the website. I didn't even think about the advertising. Right. So I started to learn, I really dug in and I started to learn about online advertising. And I read about it. I watched a lot of videos. There was a course by a woman in Canada. Ugh, I'm not going to be able to remember it now.
That's okay.
Social Sales Girls, I think is what it was called.
Okay.
And it was like a beginner's course on how to do online advertising. And I signed up for it and I just kind of binged watched it.
Nice.
And I really learned how to do it. And then I ended up, you know, because I want to kind of run the overall business. I didn't want to be doing the day-to-day Facebook advertising. So I ended up
hiring
some people to do Facebook and Google ads. I went through a couple people though before I found a good person.
That's usually the way it goes.
So. Yeah, and I have a wonderful person now that I work with, and the head of the company and his whole firm have taught me a lot about email marketing, about Facebook and Google. So that was the biggest thing I learned. And I also have been learning about PR.
Yep.
We were on ABC, CBS, and Fox News all around Black Friday last year.
Wow.
Which was
your agency representing you, or you did
some of it was through an agency representing us. Nice. And some was myself kind of connections that I put together and were able to get one of the spots. Yeah.
That's amazing.
But I've been learning a lot about advertising, and I've had some good successes. So obviously my new spots on TV were good successes, but I've had some bombs too.
Yeah.
Well, I've had things, you know, I don't like to spend money and get nothing back, but I've had that happen already.
Same here. I started right around that time that you launched your company or sub company.
Yeah.
I launched my own CBD brand and I own a marketing agency and I do scalable marketing, customer acquisition for specifically e-commerce brands who are online selling directly to the consumer, B2C. And by scalable, I mean, you know, they could be spending anywhere from $35,000 to $1 million a month in
right.
advertising. And so when I started my company, CBD is still restricted. You can't really promote it online anywhere. And so I dealt with so many challenges and it was just so frustrating because as a marketer, it's been so easy for me to promote and advertise other people's brands and products, services where, you know, here I am. I'm just like, oh God, I need to like figure out, I need to go back to guerrilla marketing because none of the things that I, you know how to do is working for this.
Right.
Mainly because of the restrictions. The other thing is it's so noisy and so on. One thing I want to ask is, and I'm curious to know, because obviously CBD is not allowed for Google advertising or paid advertising, none of that. And I'm just curious, did you see success immediately when you started promoting it on social media and doing Facebook ads and Instagram ads?
It took not immediately. It took time to kind of figure out what the audience was, what the right message was. And we're still figuring it out. When Facebook was it Facebook or Apple that changed something? Was about 6 months ago.
Facebook changed the algorithm. Google changes it constantly.
Yeah, but Apple phone, they changed the privacy thing or something.
Yes, exactly.
And that was a big deal with Facebook. So after that happened, I know we had to make some changes to kind of get it back running well again.
So if you say, you know, one platform that's doing well for you, what platform would it be? I'm just curious.
I'd say we're doing well on Facebook and Google. My audience tends to be older. Mm-hmm. My product is a luxury product. So it's an expensive price point. So the target audience is a bit older. So I think that's probably why Facebook works better than Instagram.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So I know we have a few more minutes before we complete our interview, and I'm so sad. I wish I had you.
I know this flew by. This went by so quick.
But from your perspective, and I know manufacturing had its ups and downs, and I know there was another wave, and I used to be in the fashion industry, and I had a manufacturing company of my own, a shoe company, back in 2009. And I've seen how whatever was left in Los Angeles, as far as the manufacturing, the clothing manufacturers, mm-hmm. they just went out of business between 2012 and 2000, I want to say 17. And it's such a sad, sad thing for me to see how, like, they're all gone. Yeah. They cannot sustain their businesses. There are a few left, but they're really struggling, and their prices are ridiculous. They're so expensive because they have to be. It's so expensive to do a business, to manufacture in Los Angeles. But I'm just curious, from your perspective, where do you see manufacturing heading?
I'll tell you, I think the pandemic has opened a lot of people's eyes.
Yes.
Is it going to come back to the way, in certain industries, is it going to come back the way it was before in the 1980s? I don't think so. You know, I think some of it is going to stay overseas, because it's just a fact of the matter. The labor is less expensive. They don't have the same rules and regulations, you know, that we have here in terms of employment and benefits and hours and pay and especially environmental.
Right.
So it's just a fact of the matter. It's less expensive.
Yeah.
But do I think it's going to come back a bit and grow bigger? Yes, I do. I think a lot of people's eyes were opened during the pandemic. It's not done yet. It's not solved. They're still back up in the ports. There's still shortages of things. And I think this is going to go on for a bit of time still.
I agree.
And I have heard companies that are bringing things back here to sew. I'll just give you a random example. So I, of course, since I'm passionate about Made in America products and buying Made in America, I try to live what I speak about. So I try for my house, for my clothing, everything to buy Made in America. Now, some things it's just impossible.
Yeah.
Right. But blue jeans is something that you can buy Made in America. And I recently saw that Wrangler, and this, there's a tie-in to the story, Wrangler has now started to make jeans again in the United States.
Wow.
And the funny thing about it is the first plant that we bought in Virginia was a Wrangler plant. So they moved, I believe at the time, to Mexico, and we bought their plant. Oh, and so now Wrangler is starting to bring jeans back in a way.
That's interesting.
In a smaller way. So I, to me, that, you know, that's hopeful.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
And I think the other important thing here too is that in general, I think things made in America are better quality. And I think people also are, when you know, are thinking about the environment, and you don't need to have 15 pairs of jeans. You can have 2 pairs of jeans that are going to last you for 5 years, right? And you don't have to be constantly throwing things away. And I think more and more people, again, due to the pandemic, are thinking about these things more.
I love it, Janet. Thank you. That's great advice. Where can people, if they're interested in your brand and purchasing and connecting with you, where can they get a hold of you?
So our website is AmericanBlossomLinens.com. And our Facebook is American Blossom Linens. Facebook and Instagram, both American Blossom Linens.
I love it. Thank you so much. Thank you, Janet. It's been a pleasure having you. And I would love to have you back again so we can talk about manufacturing.
Sure. I would love to come back. This was really fun.
Fun. Thank you.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.